Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Here again, a portion of that gospel reading for today from Mark chapter 7. After he took him aside away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said, "Ephphatha," which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. In the name of Jesus, Christian friends, sign language is, in my opinion, a beautiful art. Never ceases to amaze me when I watch somebody speak in sign language. There's just this beauty that's in this complicated signs and actions that I find. But even though I don't have any experience with that, I can't understand formal sign language. I'm pretty proficient with other kinds of sign language. I've got a son who, when he's happy, he comes up to me, he's got a big grin on his face, and he does this. Thumbs up, Daddy. That's wonderful sign language. Or the athlete that wins the race, they raise their fist in the air in the sky. It's a sign of joy. It's a sign of victory. Or the guy that I inadvertently cut off on the road. Lays on his horn, he flies around me, and in case I miss his meaning, he gives me a sign, if you know what I mean. Certainly has got his message across, but it wasn't a very nice sign. Signs, they're very important. Sign language is important. In fact, you see a lot of signs in Scripture, see a lot of sign language in Scripture. And here in Mark 7, we see that sign language very, very clearly. There was a man who couldn't hear, couldn't talk. It's a world that most of us are not very familiar with. The man was deaf. Text says that he spoke with a thick voice. He couldn't make sounds. He just couldn't speak. He couldn't speak intelligibly. But somebody in that region of the Decapolis must have heard about Jesus. And a few more must have heard of the things that he could do. And maybe a group of people had witnessed the miraculous even from Jesus. And so there's this little crowd that is pushing this deaf and mute man, pulling this deaf and mute man to Jesus. And maybe you can kind of imagine this guy in your mind. Sees this big crowd, has got no idea what's going on. Maybe he's even a little frightened, doesn't know who Jesus is, doesn't know what he is. But they're pushing and they're pulling him to him anyway. And when they came to Jesus, this little crowd, they asked him to touch the man. Now, as you know, Jesus does things his own way. Doesn't touch the man. Not yet. Instead, he takes him away. Takes him away from the crowd. Takes him to himself. There are no distractions there with Jesus. No fear anymore. It's just him and Jesus. And he sees Jesus only. And then Jesus starts speaking in sign language. It's the only thing that the guy could understand. I mean, watch how Jesus works. He's the master communicator. First, he puts his fingers in the man's ears. Sign language. Sign language, for I know you've got a problem. You can't hear me. I know you have a problem with your hearing. And then Jesus spits, and he touches the man's tongue. How did he spit? I don't know. Where did he spit? I don't know that either. But we know that Jesus is speaking in sign language, right? I know you've got a problem with your voice, too. And then Jesus looks to heaven. And that sign language continues. Do you hear what he's saying? Only God can help you here. That's where the power is. That's where we go. And the Bible says that Jesus sighed deeply. Another sign. It's a sigh signifying prayer. A prayer to the Heavenly Father. It's a prayer for mercy, and it's a prayer for healing. It's a prayer of love, and it's a prayer of grace. And then the breakthrough. In Aramaic, Jesus yells out, "Ephphatha, open up." and a whole new world for this man is opened. His isolation is gone. His deafness is gone. His speech is healed. As Isaiah foretells, the ears of the deaf hear, and the tongue, they shout for joy. Immediately, Scripture says, he speaks, and it was clear. Oh, the sign language of God. Without a word, the man saw love. Without a word, he saw compassion. He saw God's grace and he saw God's mercy. It was all there and he saw it all before Jesus even spoke a word. Sign language is very, very powerful. I wonder if there's any sign language of God today. Does the Messiah still come and comfort and bless and cure and heal with his sign language? Does the Christ still speak through signs as we are made deaf with sin and mute with failure? Is there any sign language from God when our sin seems to just overwhelm and when we feel as though we are too weak to stand against it? Boy, it's a battle every day, is it not? That sin comes so naturally to us. And I know I'm speaking to a whole crowd of seminarians and professors. But I tell you what, just because you're studying to be a pastor or a deaconess, just because you're working on an SDM or a PhD, just because you're planning to dedicate your life in service to the Lord, doesn't mean that sin skips past your apartment door, doesn't come to your home. Oh, no. Sin is there for you, and it's there for me, in all of its ugliness and in all of its evil debilitation. Is there any sign language from God as we battle that sin every day, day in and day out? Is there a sign from God as we're walking through that kind of stuff? Oh, you know there is. Watch how the Lord works. He's the master communicator, right? He invites us to come away from all of the distractions. Gathers us to himself, as he does here in this place. Away from the classes and the Greek and the Hebrew and the syllabuses. Away from the schedules and the money problems, the myriad of other issues that crowd around us. He takes us off by ourselves, and then he places a baby in a manger right in front of us. Can you identify the child? You know who that child is in that manger? Came there for you. It's a sign of his love. It's a sign of his grace. And then he shows you a hill. And he shows you a cross. Christ is hanging there. That's powerful sign language. And you watch him die there. Dies for you and for your sin. Then he speaks again, without a word, he speaks sign language, shows you an Easter grave, an empty Easter grave. You don't need words for that. The grave clothes are there, but the Christ is not there. He's got the victory. He's won the battle over sin and Satan. Oh, beautiful sign language. Water poured on a child or on an adult. And the gates of heaven are open and forgiveness is given. Have you seen the sign language, that miraculous sign language? Bread and wine become the visible elements through which the very body and blood of the Savior comes to us. Forgiveness comes to us. Strength comes to us. Have you seen the bread and the wine? Have you seen it up close? Oh, you know sign language, and you know its power, and you know the blessing that it gives. Kneeling together at the communion feast points us to a great banquet where we feast at a heavenly table. Do you see the sign language? And then we hear that word. Ephphatha. Open up. And a deaf man's ears are opened, and he can hear, and his tongue is loosened. And we, you and me, we are opened by his Spirit to his healing, his love, his mercy, his grace, and our tongue is loosened too. Our tongue is loosened to tell of the sign language, to shout the praise of him who forgives, to proclaim he has done all things well. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.